Now, Kathy High, who is based at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, this is an area that you've been looking at, but what are you actually working on? How are you approaching this?
Well, a long-term goal of research in the field has been simply to get long-term expression of a donated factor IX gene in a human subject. So the disease was first corrected in mice about 15 years ago. And the effort has been to move successfully from mice to hemophilic dogs and on into people with hemophilia. The work that we've been doing that I talked about today, though, uses a different strategy, not just giving a new normal copy of a factor IX gene to somebody with hemophilia or to an organism with hemophilia, but rather to go in and seek to actually correct the mutant sequence in an animal with severe hemophilia and restore a normal sequence so that that corrected gene could now be under the control of all the normal regulatory signals about when to go up and when to go down and so forth. And so that's the work that I was talking about at the meeting today. It was accomplished using a synthetic molecule called a zinc finger nuclease that was delivered along with a donor sequence. The zinc finger nuclease cleaves the DNA at the site that you want to correct, and then the cell's own mechanisms use the normal donor to make a repair to the cleavage site that now installs the normal sequence instead of the mutant sequence.
And in that way, the protein, the hemophilia, the protein that was missing before is now being made correctly. And so as a result, the person should have a restoration of the blood level, so their clotting should go back to normal.
Correct, correct. And so what we've done is show that that can actually be accomplished in a hemophilic mouse. So
But mice don't get hemophilia, so this is a mouse you've
right,
made.
This is a mouse. Well, actually, mice probably do get hemophilia, but they don't survive in the wild with hemophilia. So yes, this was a mouse that we made in the laboratory and installed a hemophilic mutation in, and then showed that we could correct it using this approach.
So if it works in a mouse, will it work in a person?
Well, most therapeutics in hemophilia have actually been tested first in a naturally occurring model of hemophilia, the hemophilia dog. And colonies of hemophilic dogs are maintained at a few universities worldwide. And so our next step will actually be to attempt to carry out the same correction in the hemophilia B dog model.
So talk us through the method that you'll use in the dogs then. What will you do?
Well, we'll do essentially something very similar to what we've done in the mice. We have to design a different set of zinc finger nucleases because the dog factor IX sequence is not identical to the sequence in the mouse that we corrected, but it'll be located in approximately the same place. So we'll give the dog an intravenous injection with an AAV vector that expresses the zinc finger nuclease, and that will induce these double-strand breaks in the dog liver. And then at the same time, we will have given this donor with a corrected dog sequence, and the cellular mechanisms in the dog liver cells will be triggered and will repair the site where the cleavage is, and it should allow expression of normal canine factor IX in the animal.
Why are you using that particular virus?
Well, that particular virus...
It's AAV9. What's special about it?
So that's a good question, and I have to admit that we chose it out of convenience and efficiency, but were you to consider expression in humans, to consider moving this forward into human subjects, it's going to be very important, I think, to identify a vector that will express only short term. Otherwise, I think you may have safety issues that arise from having the zinc finger nucleases expressed continuously.
Sure. And the fact that it just goes into the liver, or does it go elsewhere? Do you know that for a
Well, point? Actually, we know that it only expresses in the liver because it has a liver-specific promoter, so it may go to other places. In fact, it does, at low levels, go to other places, but the promoter does not allow it to express the zinc finger
nucleases. So this is the sequence that controls what genes get turned on and
Correct.
Off. They'll only turn on in the liver.
They'll only turn on in the liver.
And so they make that change in the liver, and then hopefully lifelong thereafter, you should preserve the expression of these new proteins?
Well, actually, one of the great features of this strategy is that it's a correction in the genome itself, and therefore it will be passed to every daughter cell. And so even if the cell gets old and wears out, as long as there are corrections in the sort of stem cells of the liver that give rise to the new cells, then you'll propagate the change. And we did actually show in the mouse model that we could remove two-thirds of the liver, and then as the liver regenerates, you maintain the correction because the residual cells have the correction installed, and as they divide and give rise to new cells, the correction is maintained.
So what proportion of the clotting factors in the blood are now the correct one when you do this?
We were only able to correct something like 3 to 7% of the target alleles. So that won't give you a 100% level of factor IX. It'll only give you a modest level, but in the range of 3 to 7%. But hemophilia is one of those wonderful diseases where restoring even a very modest level of normal clotting factor in the range of 5% converts the disease from a severe one to a mild one.
And if this works the way it does in all these other mammals, it looks encouraging then that you should be able to translate this to the human.
There will be additional issues that I think need to be addressed very carefully as this moves into human subjects for testing. And we talked about a little bit of those in the conference today. We need to make sure in the human genome that these particular zinc finger nucleases don't cleave other target sites. Those are called off-target effects. So we've analyzed those pretty thoroughly in the mouse. But the real tissue of interest, of course, is our human cells. So we'll need to do further analysis in human cells. So those are the kinds of issues that will need to be addressed before this kind of strategy moves forward for in vivo gene correction. But this type of strategy is already in place for cells that can be manipulated in the laboratory. So it's in place, for example, in T cells in a trial that is underway for HIV. And so, of course, though, moving gene transfer from ex vivo to in vivo involves another series of considerations that will have to be addressed.
One other question that people often raise is, what about the question of spread of the virus outside of the person you're trying to treat? Is that a risk here, or is it constrained and confined just to the person you are administering it to?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. And when clinical gene therapy studies first started, people were very concerned about the risk of what we call horizontal transmission. Would the household contacts be at risk for being infected with the virus? So in the initial studies of AAV gene transfer, that was very extensively looked at. People were kept in the hospital for 24 hours, and we had to collect all their body fluids and try to make sure that the body fluids were not infectious, that they couldn't transmit that to their household contacts. And so, fortunately, that question has been resolved, and that doesn't seem to be a big risk.
Kathy, thank you. That's Kathy Hai, who is joining us from Children's Hospital of Philadelphia.
From protons to photons and gluons to muons, the Naked Scientists. Science that's fundamentally more fun.